Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who work together to help bring astrology in an accessible and real format to the public. We are all fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our personal life, in the world around us. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I am joined tonight by my cohort, Mark. Are you there?
Mark Wolf. Yes, hello. Hi, Heather.
And I'm calling in from Montana, and Mark, you are tonight in New York City. And we may be joined by Ann Ortley, who is also calling in from New York City.
Yep.
And it's quite a week, isn't it? With, at the moment, the moon is in drifty Pisces, conjunct Neptune, and kind of a little low energy today. But the moon is heading into Aries as Mars conjuncts Uranus in Aries this weekend. And watch the sparks fly then. Now, that Mars-Uranus conjunction is really bringing about the fire. It's the Mars-Uranus conjunction perfects next week as on Tuesday, but we'll really feel it now. Now, it's bringing to a head, I think, as Mars goes hits this Uranus. You know, Uranus is just about to leave Aries, where it's been for most of the last 8 years. And there's been so much change in the culture and in the politics in one direction and then the other direction and then back again. There's so much ferment in the culture since Uranus, the planet of change, has been in Aries, starting this new field, new energy field. As Uranus heads into Taurus, before it does that, I think we're getting a review of all the political and social and personal changes of the last 8 years. Are you feeling that, Mark, in any way with your clients and your personal life?
Yeah, there's a lot of expectation for things that are ready to break loose, but they haven't broken loose yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, there's kind of a lot of tension, the sort of tension you get before things break open.
Yeah, and I'm hearing of several organizations, spiritual groups and businesses that are right in the thick of it, that they're feeling this tension as a desire to rebel and create change, and you know, and whether or not it's broken, they want to change it. They want to change the foundations of something. And it's hard not to throw the baby out with the bathwater in that process. But sometimes that sense of renewal just has to happen. And people have to go through the process. But I think people need to look at what it is they're really rebelling against and how can they turn that Aries rebellion into Aries direction. You know, where do they really want to go with this? Not just what do they want to resist.
Yeah.
But and what do they really want? Because if it's not what we really want, I'm hearing a lot of people clarifying it. You know, this is what I really want to do. Finally, I know. And others, when they just feel that discontent of, I know this is not what I really want, so what do I do? So it's going to be interesting to see how
that
plays out.
There's a lot of that going around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to take advantage of that and consider what would I like to change? What do I really want to do? And come up with a step in that direction. And when Mars and Uranus are together, they allow you to take a different step than you're used to. So it's not a measured step. It's a little bit wobbly, but maybe a little bit of a stretch. But you'll make it.
Dive in.
It encourages the diving in.
It's our end.
It's Ann. I was in a taxi cab in the rain. I just got in. I was out to dinner with my friend Kathy. We were chatting, and I'm like, I got to get back across town. I got stuff to do. So, yeah, it's pouring rain out here in New York, and I'm at the bright red desk going, yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, well, wonderful.
Yeah. So it's good.
You know, we were discussing about how that charge of the Mars-Uranus in Aries, that people know what they're rebelling against, it's been a little bit harder for people to focus on what they really want instead.
Yeah.
And that I'm feeling that bubbling ferment in several organizations and groups that I'm, you know, coaching people at the edges of, that, you know, there's this kind of willful torque of like, like it's all wrong, but they're not sure what's right. And it's just tricky. It's healthy to do that review now, but to kind of look at what's really bothering you instead of project it on one another.
Yeah. And there is a desire to project it on each other, too, because it's just kind of a, you know, you did this. You know, I had somebody saying something, and they had a Mercury-Pluto aspect, and they were talking to a Mercury-Pluto and Leo aspect, talking to a Mercury and Taurus. And they were like, you always take the negative side of things. You know, and, of course, the Taurus, the Mercury answers to a lovely Venus in Gemini, which always is like the positive. And they were like, I'm not negative. I'm like, he's a Mercury-Pluto. He's the one with the negative vision. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding that is kind of what the that is what the energy is about. Everybody's kind of not necessarily owning their own stuff or being really crabby because the other person isn't doing what they want.
You want to be careful not to fall into the blaming.
Right.
Because that's actually very disempowering.
Yeah, it really is. And you're really not looking to do that, but with the with all the intense energy and all the stuff at ending degrees, too, that's the other part, is a lot of stuff's at the last degrees. So those last degree things really just kind of push us to feel, you know, almost like an eclipse. I just can't take it a second longer. I got to do something, you know.
And also I think that we're in that last degree. It's always the review session. We remember everything, all the work that we've done while it was there. We were just talking about how Uranus in the last month in Aries, all of the political issues that we've been working on for the last 8 years are up and running right now in all directions. That our personal life, any of the major changes we've made, because with Uranus in Aries, many people, not just our government, went all the way to one side and then all the way back to the other side and has been having trouble finding a healthy, straightforward move forward. It's going to be interesting to see when Uranus heads into Taurus how that's going to affect the economy. Because the Taurus is, you know, Uranus brings change, and now it's down to the material world. How do you see that manifesting, Anne?
Well, I just remember the last time it was in Taurus was 1934 to 42, which was the public works projects. You know, WPA, you know, they built, you know, the Empire State Building, they built Rockefeller Center, they laid tracks across America, they paved the country, they built the infrastructure. It was putting people back to work by building the country. And a lot of the stuff now is, you know, there's bridges collapsing and subways not running and, you know, the infrastructure is having a lot of trouble. And I think, you know, the one thing which everybody seems to agree with, you know, climate change, whatever you don't agree with, but everybody agrees infrastructure is an important component, and both parties seem to be able to get behind that. So that's good. And that was also, we had some of the most amazing photographers because they sent out the people into the Dust Bowl and into the, you know, out into the rural areas. And you know, it was a big energy with music. So I think we're going to get some really interesting, because Taurus, of course, rules the arts and music. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I mean, I know technically Uranus is considered in his fall in Taurus because he likes to be a sky god and he's been brought down to earth. But I happen to like my Uranus transits, too, so I don't generally find them problematic because I've got a pretty Uranian chart. But I think it's going to be fun, frankly, on some levels. I mean, you know, it's definitely going to bring some shifts, but it's a feminine sign. It says, okay, you know, what are we going to grow and make, what are we going to change and grow around these energies of springtime and new beginnings and new horizons? And coming as the last one did right after the Great Depression. Hi, Max. Coming as the last one did right at the end of the Great Depression, I think it'll be interesting. Mark, mm-hmm. what do you see for it coming in?
Yeah, definitely changes in the infrastructure. Also, there'll be changes in the economy in terms of what gets favored and what doesn't. There'll be a shift. And, you know, it won't be exactly what you expect. So be a little careful with investment because they're likely to go a different way than you do them now.
Right, unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely unexpected changes with the stock market.
Yeah. And this week, so we've got this interesting explosion of energy as the Aries moon on Friday really hits off that Mars and Uranus and sort of stimulates everything over the weekend. With Mercury also sextiles Uranus on Saturday right before it goes into Pisces. And so on Sunday, Mercury goes into Pisces, which kind of going to soften and, you know, the aspects have not been very intimate lately. They've been much more political. They've been outward focused. They've been, you know, maybe introspective, but not intimate. It's been not great for long-term relationships or, you know, taking romance and turning it into something that isn't, you know, that's past that first stage of fire. You know, wonderful Venus and Mars and fire signs has been sparking a lot of good energy, but it hasn't really brought people back to intimate connection. And I think Mercury heading into Pisces on Sunday begins that process. Soon Mars will be heading into Taurus and also taking a little heat out of the situation. And I think of it like taking, you know, if you're making a recipe, it calms down the chili and adds a little bit more whole grain and butter to the recipe that's going on and going to help us calm down enough to put some of these good ideas, if we can get that ferment, into direction rather than into stopping, and give us follow through to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be interesting to see the politics as it clashes. So it's kind of sensitizing and fiery making this weekend. And that can be a little tricky, you know, that it's easy to feel like you have a right to your own discontent, but not notice that everybody else is dealing with that Piscean sensitivity that's suddenly kicking in on Sunday and Monday.
Right.
So kind of just work with that balance.
Well, and just being aware that everybody's going to be a little bit more off to, you know, prone to going off, and also more prone to, you know, how am I supposed to work with this? You're making this a really difficult choice for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and also Mars is going to be parallel to Uranus this week. So even though the zodiac conjunction happens next week on the 13th,
mm-hmm.
we're having a declination conjunction, which can often really make everybody fire up quickly, relative
mm-hmm.
to, you know, you kind of look around in the sky and you go, what the hell, man? Why is everybody so wild? And I will suggest to you it's the Uranus-Mars declination because they're
mm-hmm.
at the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already, even though the aspect isn't for another week or so, we're going to be feeling it kind of percolating around inside of us, or feeling like, you know, we have to do something now. If you have that urgent, and it's a situation that's been going on for a while, yeah, not so urgent, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
it's okay. You know, it's a slightly different energy. So, but it's
right.
also good to know that you are, it feels, somebody said to me, it feels a little like an eclipse. Is there an eclipse? And I'm like, no, but that's the Uranus-Mars. It's got that energy
mm-hmm.
of I have to do something now and I can't stand it and I can't take it a minute longer and I have ants in my pants, you know, kind of thing.
That's very much Uranus.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of an interesting.
Someone described it once as, I feel like I'm sitting in a wet diaper. And go, like, that's Uranus. That discontent is like, it's got to change now.
Right.
Which is,
yeah.
But
a wet diaper is an inapt analogy. I feel like I'm in a wet head, you know. I'm, Yeah. Like I went out this morning with a wet head and I came home with a wet head and I'm soggy, you know. Yeah, it's a soggy. Soggy energy. I like that wet diaper analogy. So
just uncomfortable. We got to shift.
Yeah.
But in March, I wanted to just bring up the fact that we're doing a workshop, all three of us together in New York, for anybody who's interested in taking your astrology further and want to look at how to use astrology on choosing good dates, on knowing how to navigate the week, on the politics of the area, and on answering questions. Let's talk a little bit about the sections that we're covering. Anne, you want to talk about orary? Because you're one of the best orary astrologers I know.
Yep, I'm doing orary, which is one of my favorite topics. And I've turned a few other astrologers onto it who go, wow, this is really fun. What it is you cast a chart for the moment of the question. So it's kind of like a divination by chart. And so you say to the chart, so where, you have to first get clear on your question. And then once you get clear on your question, and okay, where is such and such? Or what, you know, what happened to my keys? You know, should I pick between this house and that house? You know, should I marry this person? Of course, if you're asking a horror, you probably shouldn't. But you, a lot of times it's where a lot of things. And it tells you, you know, where they are. Literally location, what area they're sitting in, how they're doing it. So back when I was a baby astrologer, I was saying this to one of my bosses, and he goes, okay, where is Nicholas's sneaker? So I'm like, Nicholas's sneaker, huh? So we had two little boys. They were like 5 and 10 or 5 and 8 or something like that. And I cast the chart, and I'm like, it's in the west. It's near the kitchen. It's up high, near something electronic and near something red, and it's concealed. So he's like, well, that sounds like the family room. And there's a speaker, which would be electronic, and there's there was like a red something up there. It's concealed. So he goes up there, and there's a basket, and the sneaker's in the basket.
Yep.
And, of course, the boys were playing throw the sneaker, and it went in the basket, and neither one of them wanted to tell their father that they were throwing the sneakers in the house because they're not supposed to throw things in the house. But Nicholas's sneaker came home. And
that's
so
wonderful.
That was kind of one of mine, wow, man, you know, this is really a cool thing to do. So you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to tell them where it's near, what color it's in, that it's hidden. And then they go and they find it because you tell them exactly where it is. So I have so many fun stories along that line. But you'll walk away knowing how to find stuff, where it is, what color it's sitting next to. And also, when it will return, because sometimes it doesn't return. Sometimes it's walked off with somebody or someone's walked off with it, and you ain't getting it back. So it also tells that story, too. So
you did that for me when you came to visit and do a talk in Minnesota when I was living there. And we couldn't find the car keys for love or money. And you did a quick order chart, and you said it's upstairs in the southwest quadrant of the house. And it is low to the ground, and it's under something white. And I went upstairs to my bedroom, which was in the southwest quadrant, and I looked at the very low bedside table, and sitting underneath a piece of white paper were my keys in the little side basket, which they never should have been in. So
We don't know how they got into the side basket, but they got up there.
Exactly.
They wandered,
There were little trolls playing catch with my keys. And then Mark, what are you doing?
We're going to look at electional charts. Electional meaning you elect to do something. You choose a time to do it. And, of course, you can just go ahead and do things. But it's nice to be able to look at a chart for what it is you're planning to do and see if you like that chart. And if you don't like that chart, pick another one. So you get to try it out a few times. And there are a lot of classic things to line up, like where the moon is, what it's doing, aspects from the moon. You look at the chart. You look at the midheaven of the chart, the ascendant of the chart. All these things give information about what the event will be like, and also how it will unfold as it goes forward. So electional charts are really good for things that you choose to do, like if you get to pick a date for surgery, then you know, look at what the chart is for it. So you're getting married, look at a chart for the wedding. And there are all kinds of things, you know, that you can do according to a chart. And it gives you a lot of information, but it also sort of underlines what your decision is and gives you something to stand on. It's just another reinforcement for what it is you want to do. So knowing how the planets line up around it gives it further support.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be covering mundane astrology, both in the political sense and in the personal sense, how to look at the aspects of the week and do what we do here, which is talk about the astrological weather, or that's how it's going to affect you in a concrete and real way, and also look at the politics, the use of it in political astrology and on the chart of countries and cities. And if you go to our Facebook page, the Access Astrology Facebook page, there will be a link to how you can find out more and enroll if you'd like. And if you have any questions, any of us would be happy to answer that about our workshop coming up.
And it will be in downtown in Manhattan, New York City, not in Montana. Mm-hmm. Heather's coming in here.
Heather's coming in.
Next year, maybe we should do Montana.
Oh, hey, I'd love that. Come on out, because there's not very as much astrological audience out here. That's the only problem.
Yeah, right. A little more sparse population.
A little more sparse, yeah. So we have a question from our listener. So everybody sign up. And we'll put more information. I'll post. It's on my website too, under events.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be promoting it a little more because it's in a month, and now's when you should sign up. So we got a note from Tim, who said, "Hi, I started listening to your podcast after randomly chatting with a friend in a coffee shop when I was over in the U.S. I'm based in the U.K. I was wondering if you'd be able to consider my chart in one of your podcasts. I was born at 8:45 a.m. GMT on October 29th, 1969, in Henley, H-E-N-L-E-Y, on the Thames, T-H, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, T-H-A-M-E-S. I'm interested in your views on current problems I have with my job.
October
29th, 1969, 8:45 a.m. GMT, in Henley on the Thames. H-E-N-L-E-Y on T-H-A-M-E-S, UK.
Okay.
I'm interested in your views on my current problems. I've been in this job 17 years, since November 2001, and started training in my career in September of 96. I've been having stress-related problems due to work since 11, but these recently hit a really bad state over the last year. I'm currently off work due to the ill health this has caused. This is the third time it's been this bad since 2011. But I'm interested in views on whether I should go back to the same job and try and make it work, try and keep my career but try and find a new employer, or take this as a sign I should change careers. I'm aware from my chart that it looks like this is unlikely to resolve quickly, but wondered if you had any views on how long things might take to sort themselves out.
Now, does he say what his job is and whether or not he likes it?
Just he's had ill health and he's got been on his job since November of 2001.
So
and
he started
training in the career in 96.
We've got some big changes coming up.
Yeah, we do.
He has Jupiter and Mercury in Libra at 20 and 24 Libra and the Sun at 5 Scorpio. So Pluto is at 21 Capricorn. It's been squaring his Jupiter in the house of long-term health, and those all three planets are in his house of long-term health. So this is a long-term, deep in the experience process. This is not a lightweight thing to deal with. He has Saturn in Taurus, directly opposed his Sun, so his work affects his health, because they're both in the 6th house to the 12th house, and Uranus, over the next couple of years, will be coming to conjunct his Saturn, opposed his Sun, and squaring, and as Pluto squares his Mercury and Jupiter. So it looks like it's really important that he deals with this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, also Uranus gets to his Saturn this year, Heather, because it gets as high as 6.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's going to get to his Sun-Saturn opposition.
Yeah, it's going to start.
Yep. No. And he has a moon in Gemini, right, which is very sensitive. You know, one of the things that happens with your chart, Tim, is you're very sensitive with that Gemini moon. And it is trine to the Libra. And the Sun Saturn kind of says, you know, if I'm not happy with my work, I'm going to get sick. So I would say to you that, you know, definitely the stress-related stuff, especially because your Mars rules your Capricorn planets and it's in 25 cap, you're going to have Saturn rolling over that over the next chunk of time. And, I mean, it's not there yet, but your moon, because it's out of bounds in Gemini, you know, when your chart emotionally reacts to stuff it doesn't like, it really has a big impact. And your moon is square to Pluto, okay, which means that your chart really picks up stress very strongly. And also moon in Gemini, and I mean this in a very kind way, it's kind of the canary in the mine shaft, right? The canary in the old days, before they had carbon monoxide or bad gas, they'd have a canary and it would be singing. And when the canary stopped singing, everybody knew, hey, the air is bad, get the heck out of the mine, right? You kind of have a canary in the mine shaft chart. So when you're in a bad space emotionally or psychically, your chart really can crash. Now, correspondingly, when you're in a good space, your chart can really fly. So I would say to you, a lot of times Sun Saturn, people take a job because it's secure or because they're afraid, and your Saturn is retrograde, right, and it's exact. So you want to go back to the story that happened when you were 5.5 to 5 and 8 months, when that Sun Saturn story first got activated around maybe something with your dad or something in the family going on. And we also see it could have started about 4 years before, when you were 4 years old, with the moon squaring Pluto at age 4. So that period of time from 4 to 5, whatever was going on in your family of origin, the chart wants you to go back in and kind of work with that energy and where those fears came from and work with them. And, of course, with Pluto aspecting your stuff, it's a really good time to be able to go in and do some, as Heather always calls it, rotor-rootering and karma slogging, you know, where you kind of help it clear out. Mark, what do you notice?
Yeah, it is going to be a long process in when you bring some deeper knowledge of who you are and a deeper sense of connection to yourself, which is actually going to leave you really empowered compared to where you are now. So you're going through a period that you'll feel like you're unable to get traction and get unstuck, but it's by paying attention and being with the process and experiencing everything rather than trying to say, oh, I'm just waiting for this to be over, you won't benefit as much from waiting for it to be over as really coming to grips with it and saying, you know, what can I do with it? And so make it a meaningful process and learn what you can from it, and you'll learn a lot.
Heather, any more words of wisdom?
I would say, really, you know, you're too good at adapting and trying to make other people happy, and that this is truly a time to find out what you love to do and hear how your listen to what your body is telling you. And do it now before Pluto comes up to your Mars. Do it now. Start the process. I think that you need to go back and learn something, whether it's studying in school or learning a craft, or it's going to be a steep learning curve as Pluto squares your Mercury. It'll help you really dig your teeth into something that's important to you. Now, our time is up, and so good luck on that, and good luck with everybody in this time, this sparky time this weekend. Be careful what you ignite, and ignite wonderful things. This
light
is
candles, not firecrackers. Not one of those things, those improvised explosive devices. No improvised, but candles to illuminate.
Right. And this is Heather saying goodbye from Ronan, Montana, and Ann
Ortley saying goodbye from the bright red desk on the Upper East Side. I've now dried out. Officially, my hair is dry.
Okay, and Mark?
Oh, good. And Mark Wolf over on the west side of Manhattan. And we will see you all in March.
Yay.
Wonderful.
All right, take care, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.